Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for being with us today and blessing us mightily and anointing me to share this good message with the people of God. And Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all you're doing for your people. Amen. All right, I'm going to continue with Restoration for the Saints, number 10. In this first revelation, which we're going to reiterate, was the angel messenger's commands to us. And our messages to us from the Lord on 8/19/22. The angel Baruch gave this message for us on the eighth day, anointing celebration. Your enemy has been defeated this night and has been placed under your feet. That means, of course, under our authority. The power of your praise and worship to our God and your Savior Jesus has gone down to the very foundations of hell and has shaken it to its core. And they have risen to the throne room of our great God and were incorporated with the praises of your brethren, the saints of heaven, around his throne. Do not go back to the old ways. Let me explain this. He told us basically what the old ways were. He was speaking of a very highly praising the Lord for all of his goodness and proclaiming his promises. In other words, confessing our salvation from our enemies, as in Psalm 149, in praise, in worship. So that we've been being more radical about praising and worshiping and thanking God, and the fruit of it is awesome. He went on to say, be very vigilant not to fall backwards and lose the ground you've taken back from the enemy tonight, or he will penetrate your ranks once more. Well, truly, you know, the enemy sent curses towards us, and God has knocked them down, every last one of them, through praise and thanks to the Lord. Continue to walk in the way and the rededication of yourselves in faithfulness to Jesus, your Master and Savior. You have put the enemy to flight this night. Do not cease from pursuing him and overtaking him. Do not give him time to regroup by relenting in the fight. Amen. Our great general and your Savior Jesus is ordering his soldier bride to report for duty. The training for the greatest revival ever witnessed by mankind is now beginning. Don't fail to show up. And Eve said, in other words, don't go AWOL, absent without leave. We've been chosen or drafted to report for basic training at Fort Revival. The Lord will be our strength and faithful to get us all in shape. Amen. And she went on to say, I understood that they were all using military terms and imagery in order to stress the revelation of a soldier bride to us, so that we can begin viewing ourselves in this way, because the battle comes before the wedding. So we need to view the bride as a warrior at the man-child side, fighting with the angels, and not so much as the dainty, demure, passive figure in her wedding garments, which is true. And the angel Shemuel said, I have really enjoyed praising, worshiping, and lifting up our God and his Son, our great general and king of all kings, with you tonight. Many of the angels have joined in celebrating this event with you. I concur with Baruch's report to you all. Do not fall back. You all have orders to press forward. Also, remember to never leave your fellow soldiers or brethren behind, struggling to keep up, or wounded on the battlefield. A platoon of soldiers is only as strong as its weakest member. Give of your time and give sacrificially in order to uphold one another in daily training and on the battlefield. Do not let any fall through the cracks. And when the Holy Spirit of God places someone on your heart, get in touch with them as soon as possible. Don't hesitate to communicate with one another, because the enemy lurks and hides where the communications have broken down. Amen. Don't forget to deploy me abroad to continue fighting the enemies of UBM and all God's elect, both foreign and domestic. This is my charge concerning UBM and all that pertains to her. Okay. So Eve reported this. A hand in the clouds. During the morning prayer meeting, Michael reported looking out of his window and seeing a giant hand with a cross behind it. It was made of clouds. He said it was moving north. And we believe that this represents the hand of God leading us to defeat the northern army. And then Debbie Finsky spoke up and shared this testimony. She said, for about 3 days from this past Saturday and on through our Monday night meeting, when I would be in prayer or even just be thinking or meditating on things of the Spirit, I kept being shown a large hand. It was very large, but it did not have a regular or normal appearance of a hand. It was a fat hand. The fingers and thumb were very rounded and fat, and I knew that this was representing the Father's hand. In other words, it was a large hand, right? And Debbie gave this word, we called it, "You are in my hand," 8:24:22. In Monday night's meeting, I heard Father say one thing: "I want to show you what is in my hand." And after the meeting and through today, more so, as he led me to start listening and writing, Father spoke to us, "Receive by faith all that is in my hand, which I choose to give to you out of my faithfulness to you because of your steadfast faithfulness to me. You have to know without doubting that all these things that are here in my hand are yours. I give them to you." Healing is in any hand. Receive it. It is yours. Much provision and much favor. It's in my hand, ready to be poured out upon you at your every need. Boy, I tell you, he has certainly been doing that. I mean, every curse that has been sent is being struck down. Mighty miracles are happening to undo what the wicked have done. And by the way, they are throwing back the bombs into the enemy camp. So, as they said, "Mercy and grace is ever flowing like a river washing over you with my Holy Spirit anointing. Yes, my anointing ever flows to you from my hand. Stay in the flow. Authority and power is in my hand. I give it all to you as you are led to go forth as my ambassadors, instituting with power and authority my will and my way. You are in my hand. Nothing can harm you there. You are mine. And in the safety and security of my hand, you can do all I have called you to do, all that I have chosen you for, to be my presence on the earth. The very light that shines forth from you is from my very hand. I am the light of the world that yet will shine forth from you evermore brightly. You are not on your own, yet on your own, your constant choice must always be to be in me, remaining in me, abiding in me, knowing that my hand is not slack in providing your every need and performing my every promise. My hand holds you, and my hand covers you, and my hand lifts you up. Yes, I am who is your all in all, covers and upholds, leads and directs, loves and sustains you with all of my heart by my righteous right hand. Thank you, Father. You are valiant in faithfulness towards your faithful people in all things. Amen. And I add Isaiah 53:1. It says, Who hath believed our message? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? We know that Jesus is the arm of the Lord. But his seed in the earth is his hand. Okay, Isaiah 53:10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, in other words, when he died, he shall see his seed. What is his seed? It is the word of God manifested in his people, right? He shall prolong his days. That means in his seed. He's going to prolong his days. He died, but he's prolonging his days in his seed. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Well, as we can see, his hand is his seed, through whom he will do his works. Jesus was the arm of the Lord, and we are his extension in the earth. Amen. Oh, thank you, Father. In Psalm 118:15-16, the sound of joyful shouting and salvation in the tents of the righteous. Yes, we're doing it. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Yes, his right hand is doing valiantly and doing wonderful miracles among us. Hallelujah. Miracles, deliverance, provisions, everything. And this one we called Give Up the Pride of Life to See How Great Our God Is. This was given to Claire Pinar, 8:6:22. I dreamed there was a big brick wall. This wall represents, I believe, separation from God and each other, and also hinders our spiritual discernment. In the mortar, she said, that held the bricks together, there was a thin silver snake slithering. She said, I asked the Lord about the snake, and he spoke to me, saying, the snake is the pride of life and we must lay it down. So I asked him for a verse and received 1 Peter 5:6-7 in my spirit. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he careth for you. Well, yes, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. So he doesn't want us to be proud in worship and in praise to him. He wants us to just turn loose and give him what's in our heart, right? I agreed that it shouldn't be there, and when I went to pick it out of the cement grooves, the brick wall exploded into nothingness and revealed the brightest light. In other words, get that snake out of the bricks, right? Well, this represents moving the division so that we can have the spiritual discernment of the light. I was then suspended in midair, and I heard the angels singing to God, How great thou art! Amen. Represents, of course, being caught up to heavenly places to hear the angels. Amen. Then I woke up. Anne Marie Kelton got this on 8:12. A bride receives authority over her enemies. Amen. Well, I believe Marie is being used to represent the bride in this revelation. And she said, during the meeting, I had an open vision of the Lord, and he put a gold necklace around my neck with a key on it. And I believe that this is representing the key of David, which the Lord gave to the bride church of Philadelphia, right? Yeah, and, you know, we teach the bride to bind and loose. That's what keys do, right? Bind and loose. Take authority. Just exactly what the angel said to do, right? Revelation 3:7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, that's the church of brotherly love, which, by the way, we've been prophesied to be that. And these things saith he that is holy, and he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and none shall shut, and that shutteth and none openeth. Amen. That's the binding and loosing authority that God has given to his saints. Then he put another gold necklace around my neck with a heart on it. So that reminded her of Psalm 4 and 9. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my bride. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. So the bride has captured the heart of Jesus, and he loves her beauty of spirit, and he will give gifts to her, as he has been doing. Okay, and this was from Belinda back in 2012. The bride's authority in these dark medieval days. She said, I dreamed I was living back in the medieval days, which is, of course, a period of deterioration, a tumultuous period, light versus darkness, etc. Well, these verses are the best description of the wicked who have fought against us in these dark medieval-like days. Isaiah 5 and 20 through 23. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. You know, everything that the faction actually was doing and did do, they accused us of. That's the way of those, that spirit, that slanderous spirit. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Well, this is obviously talking about self-delusion. You know, people who drink what they want because they get a high on it. They get some kind of gratification from it. Become deluded. That justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. And that's exactly what they have done. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 7. But know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness but having denied the power thereof. From these also turn away. For of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women laden with sins, led away by divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what they do. They creep into houses. When they are brought out into the light, they run. They're like cockroaches. The invasion of witchcraft, faction, and Jezebel into the churches and the government has bred a people who have no conscience whatsoever. And we see that in these people. We see this revelation of 2 Timothy 3 more clearly now than ever before. It's amazing. I was living in a castle high on a hill. Well, I believe this is probably Mount Zion, and that's for the bride. A place of safety and provision for God's people from the evil darkness that is increasing over the earth. I stood gazing out the tower window. That's Micah 4 and 8 is what came to us. And thou, O tower of the flock, the hill of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Yea, the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. She went on to say, I saw that it was a beautiful late summer morning and time to spiritually prepare before the beginning of the tribulation is quickly running out, she said. I noticed from my vantage point in the tower the increasing evil soon to be unleashed upon the earth. God's people, she says, who are spiritually preparing now will have a vantage point and a place to escape, which is abiding in Jesus Christ. And she gave Luke 21:36. But watch ye at every season, making supplication that you may prevail to escape all these things, and shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Amen. Even though the season was late, there were still some beautiful flowers in the meadow beyond the castle. So I decided to take my morning walk down to the meadow and pick the flowers for my husband, the king's table. That's Jesus' table, right? The season is late, you know, but there are still some flowers, beautiful saints, beyond the castle to be brought into Zion, the bride. And also the walk of the bride will be a beautiful, sweet fragrance to the king. Amen. And she gave Proverbs 21, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Okay, that means everybody else has got to go. And Matthew 7:13-14 says, enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate. We'll come back to the wide gate here. And broad is the way, and the broad way, that leadeth unto destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate, and straitened the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it. It is so true. A lot of people start out with this, but not nearly as many end up with this. As I was walking along towards the meadow, I was singing a love song to my husband, the king. Of course, that's Jesus. Psalm 92:1, on down, it says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, with an instrument of 10 strings and with the psaltery and with a solemn sound upon the harp. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Triumph means to celebrate the victory, right? That's what we do. We celebrate the victory. And also 147:1 says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. So when I reached the spot where the flowers were growing, I bent down to pick the flowers, and I suddenly sensed a dark presence. Well, we know that Satan opposes those who are bringing the saints to Zion the most. And just as I looked up, I saw a dark rider on a black horse. This represents evil spirit power being sent from Satan. The horse was riding across the meadow towards me. I instantly knew this rider was not from my kingdom because everyone in my kingdom wore white robes. In other words, righteous acts of the saints, right? And this one only rode upon, and our people only rode upon white horses, harnessed, obedient flesh, I believe is what's being talked about here. The horse represents our body being in submission to us, a spiritual man. And 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts in the time of your ignorance, but like as he who called you is holy, be ye yourselves also holy in all manner of living. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who without respect of person judges according to each man's work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear, knowing that you were redeemed not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb without spot, even the blood of Christ. Amen, amen. And when the dark rider got within several feet of me, I commanded him to stop. I said, quote, you are not of my kingdom, and you have no authority here, and I command you in the name of my Lord to go back to your kingdom. Unquote. Well, Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and withal taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And also Colossians 2 and 10, and in him ye were made full, who is the head of all principality and power. Amen. When we speak for Jesus, the devil has to move. The dark rider gave me an ugly sneer and said, I don't take orders from a woman. And I said, I'm no ordinary woman. I'm the wife of the King, that's Jesus, and I do have authority to tell you to leave. As soon as I spoke those words, I was immediately standing there in full battle armor. I reached down and took my sword, which is the Word of God, out of its sheath, and with all my strength, I threw my sword, and it hit the evil rider right in the heart. The sword went all the way through the dark rider, and he and his horse burst into flames. Amen. We have authority. They can't withstand our sword. Swing your sword, saints. Don't sit on it. Amen. Luke 10 and 19 says, Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So, We know that men and women who have confessed their sins and believed the word are guiltless before God and have his full authority over the forces of darkness. Isaiah 54 and 17 says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness which is of me, saith the Lord." Then she went on to say, "Suddenly from the direction of the castle I saw my husband, the king," that's Jesus, "riding across the meadow on his beautiful white stallion," which represents holiness and purity. "And when my husband approached me, he reached down and scooped me up and put me on the back of his horse," which I believe probably talks about abiding in Jesus Christ and trusting in his strength, right? "I put my arms around his chest and we rode back to the castle together. One in Christ Jesus," she puts in parentheses. "And as we were riding along, my husband, the king, said, 'Well done, my dear wife.' And I said, 'Oh, 'twas nothing, my dear husband. You taught me well.'" Yes. John 15:4 on. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you." So, saints, with the authority of this word from God and the dream, he sent to destroy and cast down the forces of darkness that oppose you bringing in the harvest. "Tell them, I command you in the name of my Lord to go back to your kingdom." Amen. You have authority to stop them. You have authority to bind and loose on the earth. So here's one Claire Pinar had, 8-9-22. We call it "One of Satan's Princes Evicted from His Throne." I think we'll find out who this is. "I had a quick flash vision, and I saw a very high authority demon leave his throne. He pulled at his head in torment, and his eyes flashed red. He had a strange Greek-looking crown on his head, and he was very angry. I looked closely, and it seemed it was something I had said that caused him to be frightfully angry and no longer on his throne." Well, as we give the commands to the king of Babylon and his principality, they will be cast down as Cyrus Trump comes through the door. On a local UBM level, the angel, Baruch, said to us after our eighth-day anointing meeting, "Your enemy has been defeated this night and has been placed under your feet." So we consider this both enemies of the government and enemies of in the church, or not in the church, but of the church, right? "The power of your praise and worship to our God and to your Savior, Jesus, has gone down to the very foundations of hell and has shaken it to its core. And they have risen to the throne of room of our great God and were incorporated with the praises of your brethren, the saints of heaven, around his throne." Amen. So keep on praising, folks, because like Psalm 149 says, this is how we bind their kings and their leadership. And in this vision, it looked like he was either in a courtroom or a throne room, and he was told to evacuate or leave. Well, we know Zechariah 3, 1 and 2 says, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to be his adversary. And the Lord said unto Satan, Jehovah rebuke thee, O Satan. Yea, the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Amen. I saw the finger of our Lord pointing from some white robes on a bigger throne, but it was me speaking. And that was the end of the dream. So we speak the word of the Lord, and both the angels and the demons obey him. Amen. She said, "I asked for a word by faith at random and received Habakkuk 3:14, which is a confirmation of the principality's head being in agony because of the sword of the word that is thrown at it when we agree with what the Lord says in his word. Habakkuk 3:14, "Thou didst pierce with his own staves the head of his warriors. They came as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly." Amen. Our good confession is all powerful. It is the sword of the Spirit. And Claire also had this, "Only the bride is left standing. Three of four will fall away." I dreamed I was on a 10-day tour of America. 10 days refers to the fullness of time. I was part of an elect group of women who went to a very high-end lodge to receive training. And Rion, her husband, said, "Sounds like Esther and the rest getting trained for the king." Amen. I was there in a flash without ever boarding an airplane or taking a taxi. I was at the lodge with three other women. They all looked much better suited and prepared than I was for this training. And Rion said, "His power is made perfect in weakness, and there is only one bride, one undefiled, and the Lord looks on the inside." Amen. I got a glimpse of the man who was in charge of us and the training as I was taken aback by his state of perfection. Well, I believe that's probably Jesus in the man child is coming to choose his bride just as he did in the Gospels. Jesus went forth and said, "Hey, you and you, come follow me," right? And those people ended up being the bride, according to John. So, everything was just perfect, she said. He had on a bright blue t-shirt, and he had blue twinkling eyes that took my breath away. He said to me, "I choose you." So that was one out of the four, right? I thought this was a mistake, so I said, "Let's see, do you want to go for a run with me? If I can keep up with you, then you can choose me." He said, "Sure." So it's true. We have to walk with Jesus, right, to be with him in the end. He said, "Sure." I went to get dressed for the run. And I believe this represents those who win the race. I first put on a pair of red biker leggings, but these showed too much leg. And then I put on a pair of gray shorts, and again, they showed too much leg. And then I put on a pair of multicolored pants that had many white geometric shapes in between all the colors. And Rion said, "This is like Joseph's coat of many colors, representing the chosen or the elect that don't live by the flesh but by faith, and they can run with the Lord and not grow weary." Amen. and the multicolored represents the different facets of the light, right? Jesus is the light of the world, and that there's many facets to that light, right? Like a prism. I went for a run and kept up with this man whose name was Bobby. This is a nickname for a police officer. The righteous one is coming to enforce the law of liberty and set the captives free in his man-child reformers. Amen. I agree with that. One by one, the other three girls either dropped out or were disqualified from the training. One girl never received her visa on time, even though she was so diligent and so perfectly suited to this training. And then Rion said, representing a third of the stars falling out of the sky, right? Unfortunately, she was deported. Kind of like an illegal alien. You know what an alien is, somebody that doesn't belong with your group, right? The other one was too lazy, and she was sent away, even though Bobby had spent a considerable amount of time with her, coaxing and encouraging her. And the third one was distracted and not doing the activities, and seemed to be paying attention to another man, not to Bobby. That's representing those with idols who are harlots, right? Many people are worshiping their preacher more than they are worshiping the Lord, and respect his words more than they respect the Lord's word. She was still there, but I knew it'd be me left there with Bobby for the rest of the training. And Rion said, like the parable of the sower, three out of the four seeds did not make it. They all thought that they'd be at the training for about 3 or 4 years, but I knew it was only going to be a quick 10-day event. So, representing that all those who didn't make it thought that they would have a lot more time than they did, instead of redeeming the time because the days are short. Amen. I also knew Bobby and I were going to be inseparable. Yes, this is true. Rion said, amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. Yes. I received the following scripture by faith at random for this dream. Habakkuk 2 and 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will look forth to see what he will speak with me, and what I shall answer concerning my complaint. And Proverbs 31, 6 and 7. Give strong drink to him that is ready to perish, and wine unto the bitter in soul. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Well, that's true, but he's getting ready to perish. Yeah. So, and this was given to Matt Ezell, 8:31-22, the bride remnant. I wanted to share this dream I had. I believe it's an encouragement to the body and possibly a bit of a warning. I dreamed that everyone at UBM was gathered together for a wedding. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. We were all dressed in white clothes. Yes, the Lord has definitely been working on this. And showing great grace as we worship and praise him for the victory. Before the wedding, Michael was leading the worship in a previous setting in some city. There were many people there for worship, maybe close to 100 or more people. Well, this is interesting because it kind of happened out that way. Michael has been leading worship to our larger crowd joining us by YouTube on Fridays. So the wedding is close, because he said this is just before the wedding, right? The wedding is close. The wedding feast, of course, is the 7 days of the tribulation, when the man-child goes forth to teach the bride and to share the bread and the wine, right? Like Jesus said. So the wedding feast is for those 7 days, the tribulation. Jesus and the man-child feeds the bread and the wine of life to those invited to the wedding. Amen. And when it came time for the wedding, however, there was just a few of us there, maybe about 20. We were in a secluded country neighborhood and a few houses in a cul-de-sac-like environment. Well, the bride is much smaller than the church that we minister to, but these will in turn feed the church. They will feed the church the words of life, just like Jesus' first fruits disciples did. They fed the church who came out of the world and religion. Church is the called out ones, right? And so those that came out of that dead apostate religion in Jesus' day and followed him was the church. I felt like Luke 10 and 2 is in accordance with this dream. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Well, that's, as a type, Jesus raised up his first fruits disciples that John the Baptist called the bride to go to a much larger church. Right? Amen. And that's what will happen. Because the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Let me say, Isaiah foretold of Zion's redemption through the man-child. You can stay within Isaiah and see the whole story. Isaiah 59 and 20 says, and a redeemer will come to Zion. That's where he's coming first. The Lord will come first to the David man-child and the bride who are Zion. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. Now Jacob, who was named Israel, is a type of the church. Those in the church who turn away from sin are the bride. How do we know what sin is? We go by the word. Okay, Isaiah 46 and 13. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Notice, he's going to put salvation first in Zion, and it's for Israel. It's for the church. Just like Jesus spent so much time with those first fruits disciples that were called the bride by John the Baptist so that they could go out and totally and perfectly represent him to the larger church. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 41 and 27, I am the first that saith unto Zion, behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. Well, we know that Jesus in the man-child body of reformers will bring the good news to the bride. Amen. And Isaiah 40 and 9 says, O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion, get thee up on a high mountain. That's Mount Zion, and this represents closeness to God, separation from the earth, etc. O thou that tellest good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come as a mighty one. That's the man-child body right there. And his arm, Jesus, will rule for him. He is the arm of the Lord, right? Jesus will rule. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. So the Lord will reward the bride and judge the Judas Edomites, as he came with his blood-stained garment from Edom, right? And 11 says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. In other words, he will lead them through their wilderness. He will gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom, and will gently lead those that have their young. Amen. Jesus is the good shepherd. Isaiah 52 and 7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. So, I mean, the good tidings have to come from the mountains, the high places of God, right? That publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. So he is our sovereign God. We should believe in the sovereignty of God, because then we know who we're dealing with, right? The voice of thy watchmen, they lift up the voice. Together do they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord returneth to Zion. In other words, the leadership, the true leadership, are going to be in one accord. Isaiah 62:11 says, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. The Lord is coming to save Zion. And I mean save her from her enemies and save her from her old life. And it goes on to say, behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. So Jesus is coming to judge the enemies of the bride and to manifest her salvation. And Isaiah 51:11 says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Ransomed is bought and taken. It's the people who were held captive and made free, because the ransom was paid by the Lord himself, right? And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Joy is mentioned so many times about the bride in Isaiah coming to that maturity and receiving that election, right? They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Yep, all the sorrow they went through by the crucifixion of the wicked around them is gone. The man-child Zerubbabel, with the fruits out of Babylonian religious captivity, will return to rebuild the kingdom as in Haggai. And Zerubbabel means born from Babylon. He was the first fruits man-child to come out of Babylon. In Isaiah 35:8, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Holiness means separation or sanctification unto God, separation from the worldly, the wicked, the sin, the devil, etc., unto God. The way of holiness. That highway is called the way of holiness. The highway that leads to what? Zion. If you don't like holiness, you don't want to be in Zion. You can't be there. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed. The wayfaring men, that's men on the broad road. That's what that means. Yea, fools shall not err therein. They don't go there because they don't like holiness. They don't want to be separated from the world and their sins, so therefore they hold to it and defend it and justify themselves. Amen. Verse 9, no lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up thereon. They shall not be found there. So the faction who are predators of God's people and devour them for the beast, like the dragon, right? They're not going to be found on that highway. But and that is the safest place to be, by the way. If you get on that highway, they don't go there. You're safe. So those who are not being cleansed of their beastly flesh abhor this way of holiness. It goes on to say, but the redeemed shall walk there. And Isaiah 62 and 1 says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness go forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burneth. So Jesus is determined to sanctify his bride. Amen. He knows who she is. Isaiah 4 and 4 says, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of justice and the spirit of burning. Yes, the wicked couldn't stand the burning of the way of Zion. So this is not only the removal of sin from the bride, but also the tares are being removed from the wheat by faction. Faction are demons that separate people who will not cease from their sins. Okay? God uses faction. He uses these demons. He's turning people over to these demons to separate them from the body because they will not repent. The burning is the removal of the wood, hay, and stubble of the bride's life. Right? A spirit of burning. Amen. And the Lord will create over the whole habitation of Mount Zion and over her assemblies, because around the world there are assemblies of God's people that the wicked abhor and are coming out of because faction drives them out. Yeah. A cloud of smoke and a smoke by day and a shining of a flaming fire by night, for over all the glory shall be spread a covering. So this was a covering over the people of God who had gone through the Red Sea and seen their old man put to death. Yeah. This is the anointing and the protection of the bride to enter tribulation with Moses the man-child, who with Joshua and Caleb and families were preserved through the wilderness. But those who believed the bad report were not. They died in the wilderness. In verse 6, and there shall be a pavilion for a shade in the daytime from the heat, and for a refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. So the bride will be at rest in the wilderness tribulation because she's already gone through her tribulation. Tribulation is the tribulation of the church. They too have to be matured and perfected. Right? And Isaiah 52 and 1 says, awake, awake, and put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments. Put on the works of Jesus, is what he's saying, right? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Right? Beautiful garments, the garments of Jesus, the righteous acts of the saints. O Jerusalem, the holy city, from henceforth there shall, what? No more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. That's happening now. There are people who believe they're a part of us, and they are not. Because they are uncircumcised and unclean. So we see this no more will the factious Judases test the people of the bride, for she hath overcome them. Amen. It's a crucifixion, but she hath overcome them. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise, sit on thy throne, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bonds of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. So the bride will be the first fruits to come out of religious captivity, right? And of course, at the head of the bride, by the way, was David, Jerusalem, David, and that he represents the man child. Amen. Isaiah 60:14, and the sons of them that afflicted thee, the sons of the faction who survived when their fathers were destroyed. You understand that that's what's going to happen by all the word of God and all the revelations we've received. So those that are survived there, who are elect, but will repent and turn to the Lord, we give praise and thanks to God, shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despised thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Yes, God will force this. In Isaiah 61:3, as you know, Isaiah 61 is the man-child, Jesus' first message. It began the man-child's ministry. Yes, he had overcome in his wilderness and was prepared to bring the people there, just like Moses. So, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them a garland for ashes. See, this is the comforting and the blessing of the bride after going through a great crucifixion at the hands of the wicked. To give unto them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We've been given this garment of praise. And the angels are saying, hold on to it, don't lose it, because in Psalm 149, it's what destroyed the enemies. They sent Judah first. Judah means praise. Amen. Praise. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Yes, thank you, Lord God. Isaiah 51:16. I have put my words in thy mouth, and have covered thee in the shadow of my hand. There it is. That I may plant the heavens, and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. What is this planting the heavens? How does he use them to plant the heavens? Well, like the first fruits disciples who followed the man-child Jesus, they will go forth to sow the seed of the kingdom that brings God's people to heavenly places in Christ. Amen? Wow, how awesome this revelation is. Well, okay. I went a little bit over it, but that's okay. It was well worth it. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for the mighty victory you have given unto us. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. So keep on praising him, saints, and confess who he is and what he has done while you're at it. In Jesus' name.